Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, the last several days, we've been looking at a subject entitled The Communion of the Saints, and that word communion is from the Greek word koinonia. And we looked at five basic concepts that would illustrate this word. And the first two are somewhat technical. It refers to a community of goods, a sharing, such as expressed in Acts, the second chapter, where as the church was first birthed, if you will, they were together and they had all things in common. That's what it says in verses 46 and 47 of Acts, the second chapter. And then, of course, it refers to a contribution of material or financial help to help the poor, those who were needy. And adding and building on that, there's the concept of mutual sharing in terms of privileges, all the wonderful things we've been given spiritually in Christ Jesus. We're already seated with Him in heavenly places. But along with that is a mutual sharing of duties and obligations. And what we have been sharing these last several days describes a mutual sharing with one another. But the fifth point, which shares or aspect of koinonia, which ties it all together, which enables us to have communion or koinonia with one another, is because of our koinonia, our fellowship with God, our communion with God. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, John says, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, praise God. And so that fellowship we have with one another, of course, depends on that fellowship. And so we've been looking at, how do we share? What are the ways we come together? Well, first, the important thing is that Christ prayed for that in John, the 17th chapter, verses 20 and 21. He prayed that they would be one in, Father, He said, as Thou art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And as I say from time to time, when we pray together, when we're just sharing the word of the Lord, there's a koinonia that comes into existence, I believe. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, well, in things of the Spirit, there's no time, there's no distance. Of course, we always generally use this to refer to our church fellowships when we gather together, or our prayer meetings, or our Bible studies. But there is a fellowship that occurs around the Word of God. Because Jesus, of course, is the living Word, but His will is expressed in the written Word. And so we share with one another as we commune on the things of God, if you will. There's mutual exhortation and comfort and edification. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. And then there's, of course, the communion in prayer for one another. 2 Corinthians 1:11, you must help us too by praying for us, for much thanks and praise will go to God from you who see His wonderful answers to your prayers for our safety. And then we want to continue on with a few final scriptures that talk about koinonia, and that is the koinonia, and some of these are interrelated or overlapping, if you will. There's the communion in public and social worship, coming together as of the body of Christ. Psalm 34:3 says, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Psalm 55:14 says, we took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. And then there's the communion in the Lord's Supper. in 1 Corinthians 10:17, it says, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." Very important scripture, that we are partakers of that one bread, which is Jesus. He is the living bread. He is the bread of life. And so God is pleased with our communion with one another. And that's why it's so important to preserve the bond of unity. Psalm 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head." That's the anointing, beloved, that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew upon Zion, as the dew upon Mount Hermon. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And so unity and love among the brethren, without strife, without discord, is so important to the Lord. And if we will do that, if we will forgive one another and overlook offenses, as the Spirit directs, sometimes we need to be able to speak face to face and discuss things. But He will give a holy joy and delight as we fellowship together. Psalm 16:2-3 says, "But thou art my Lord, my goodness extended not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight." And of course, I shared with you Psalm 133:1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And then Romans 15:32, I give a lot of scriptures, but I'm sharing with you what God's heart is, what He says in His Word about this subject. Paul is saying, "That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." And then, as far as this subject is concerned, I've saved the best for last. I absolutely love this scripture. I think when I read it the first time, I said, wow. When we share together in communion, in koinonia, in fellowship, in the Holy Spirit, when we talk about the things of God, He marks this communion, this fellowship with Him, with His approval. Listen to this marvelous passage. This is the King James Version, found in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, verse 16. "Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." Isn't that precious? So I assume it's the angels. They're writing down the times and the things that God's people shared, those that feared the Lord and thought upon His name and spoke often one to another. Isn't that precious? Let me give you another translation, the Living Bible, of that verse in Malachi 3:16. "Then those who feared and loved the Lord spoke often of Him to each other. And He had a book of remembrance drawn up, in which He recorded the names of those who feared Him and loved to think about Him." I don't know about you, but that just takes my breath away. It's so precious. Praise God. All right, well, we want to continue on and kind of summarize. We're going to go off in just a little bit different direction, but it really ties into what we've been sharing about communion. And we've been talking about bread. In fact, when we hear the word communion, that Greek word, which is koinonia, what do we think of? We think of the Last Supper. We think of the bread and the cup, the communion that we share together in remembrance of Jesus. Because Jesus did say, "As often as you do this in remembrance of me." And hear what Paul had to say. I shared this earlier this week, but I want to read it again. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 16 and 17. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." Hallelujah. Jesus is the living bread. And even though we're many members, we're one bread. We're part of that one bread. We're one body. And we are all partakers of that one bread, that bread of life, Jesus, who is the bread of life. Now, let's just take a time to look at bread for a minute. Obviously, we understand in the natural what it is. Bread was given by God and is given to man for the whole sustenance of man, Matthew 6 and 11. And of course, that refers to nourishment, food, but bread is summarized, especially in Scripture, as being the physical food that we have need of. Matthew 6 and 11 says, and that is taken from the Lord's Prayer, because when his disciples asked, Lord, teach us how to pray, he said this. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then again, the most important thing is, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, your kingdom come. And then give us this day our daily bread. That's Matthew 6:11. That we are to then, after God's concerns of the kingdom, his will being done, then we can ask for our needs. Do you notice the order there? We should maybe follow that. What do you think? Might be a good idea. And then, of course, bread in a material way is nourishing and strengthening. Psalm 104 and verse 15 makes reference to that, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Amen. So my time is drawn to a close, and we will conclude this on tomorrow's broadcast, and we're going to be looking at more scriptures involving bread, and of course, those scriptures will include Jesus as the bread of life. Praise God. Well, it's been wonderful to share these precious scriptures, because this is the heart of God for us, that we can forgive. And some of you may be having trouble with forgiveness. I do. If you're struggling with some very painful situations and you need help in prayer, I ask you to write. God doesn't want you to be tormented by those ongoing, continuing thoughts. There's torment in that, and he wants you to be set free. And sometimes there's just greater power and agreement. And so if you've tried to do the very best you can by forgiving and giving it to God, if you're still being troubled, still wrestling with it, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you and pray for you every day, my UCM partners, my radio family, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.